All right. So on this, seventh day of June, we're going to kick it off at 5:36, the work session, leading up to the regular town board meeting. It starts at 7. First on the work session is a block party request for road closure on Brannock Burn. Jerry, we typically work with Highway Department on these for coordinated efforts, so I guess maybe we'll table that until Jerry gets here. We need to make a determination, we should make a determination between now and the next meeting whether or not we're going to have that July 6th meeting.
That's on Friday.
It's the 5th, it's July 5th is the meeting.
Right, well.
Yeah, it's the day after.
It's the day after 4th of July. So do you want to have it July 6th, or do you want to have one meeting in July instead of two?
So the meeting that we would have would be the 19th then?
Yep.
I'm okay with that, unless you have a pressing issue.
Well, I think what we might want to do is hold off and see if it fills up, if there's a need for a meeting. I mean, obviously, if we need to do business, we need to do business.
Yeah, you can always, even if there's an emergency that comes up, you can always call them, a special meeting.
Yeah, so why don't we make we'll see how this month goes leading up into, but be prepared that we might have just one meeting in July.
And just kind of FYI, everybody, I won't be here on the 21st, our next meeting, so I got an engagement out of town that I got to go to.
Okay.
So could we announce that meeting by the 21st so that everybody else knows?
Yeah, but just keep that in mind and look at your schedules too. It's the 4th of July week, so sometimes people take that off. It might be a good week if we're going to take a week off. That might be the one to do.
Okay.
Trooper Barracks AC compressor replacement and emergency generator. I think Al was going to brief us on that. He stepped out briefly. I'll give you the 2-second version. Basically, to fix it, one component costs $14. And the more efficient, here's Al. Talking about the AC.
Yep. So our compressor's dying. Had a seized bearing, they got it spinning. That building is, I think it was 2004 or 6 that
was
built. So your 12 or 14 year old compressor, starting to give us problems. They got a quote from Town Mechanical to replace it with an R22. Refrigerant is $1,463 for a more efficient R140, I think it's 141 or R143 refrigerant. It's $3,400. For the amount of months that we have hot weather here.
What's the return on investment to spend?
It would be for another $2,000. I think it'd be all of 10 years. Honestly,
so just go with the cheap.
That's my thought. I just wanted to bring it to the boards. My thought is go with the $1,463 new compressor that runs on R22, which is what we have, and so be it.
Yeah,
how much?
$1,463.
$1,500.
Yep. We do have money in the buildings and grounds account to cover it. I just wanted the board to be aware of.
How old is the current compressor?
It's either 12 or 14 years. It's either 2004 or 2006.
So it's got its money's worth out of it.
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah. So I can't see.
I go with $1,400.
Yeah, it's $1,463. As long as we're all on the same page, I'll go ahead and.
I have a question about the Trooper Barracks. Does that come out in the black every year? If you were just to take the Trooper Barracks in the rent.
Black.
I mean, I think we're landlords.
We're subsidizing.
Yeah, we're subsidizing it significantly. It covers the utilities.
Yeah. That's two town supervisors prior.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up.
I think it's a 25-year lease that we're about halfway through.
Just to give you a comparison, Town of Hastings has a Trooper's Barracks up there that the Troopers want a new barracks. They don't want to pay for anything because it's the state. It's not the Troopers, but the state won't give money. So they want free land, and they got money to build the barracks, but
What if Hastings they pitch to the governor that they want to build a nano factory?
Yeah.
Then they'd build it.
Oh, yeah. But the town of Hastings, for example, wants them because it's they don't have another police force there other right. than Oswego County Sheriff. So to them, it's a presence of the police. So they're happy to do it. And they've got some land that they're going to give them, basically, which they can do. I mean, under the state law, you can donate.
Heck, I think once the bond is paid,
we should work out of here. That would have been ideal.
Yeah.
They didn't want it. They didn't want to open up the contract again because then it's got to be a bid process, and they're there. It's just,
No. Okay. I mean, it's nice to have them in the area because it is, you know, a little extra protection in terms of how quick they can get to any emergency. But
and they have subsidized. Over the years, it's grown into more of a manned station. Before it was just this outpost that they could stop and
use the bathroom,
maybe.
Have a donut.
Do a little
now there is
online.
A sergeant, a permanent sergeant that's stationed there, and I mean it's manned, but it's
But it's a 25-year contract. We're halfway through, so there's not a lot. We're
probably not your.
And I've asked them. I asked Albany if they would entertain moving here.
Heck, if they paid the rest of the bond, give it to them. I mean, really?
It seemed to me that. The easiest thing to do for them was just keep on keeping on.
Well,
yeah. So
of course
they got a sweetheart deal.
Right. Okay. All right. Because the next item.
Yeah. County Hazard Mitigation Plan. We participated in this. We adopted it.
What about the emergency generator?
Emergency generator. They. I kind of chuckled at this. They said, you know, without an emergency generator, we're kind of out of business here if the power goes out. And I said, that's funny. So are we at our town hall. They said, he said, would it be something that you'd consider putting in? And I said, I'd bring it to the board, but so far they haven't let me put one in this building. So good luck.
Again, I would go back because that was part of the pitch. I said, you know, we would consider putting in an emergency backup generator so you would have backup power at this facility. So maybe that's another opportunity to...
Yeah, Sergeant Gilfus isn't going to be able to... I mean, he's got some people under him, but he's not going to be able to make any decisions.
He doesn't make the call at all.
It goes back to Albany. Okay. I mean, I can, you know, bring that to his attention, but...
be perfect for the space back there.
It would absolutely be perfect.
Yeah, that would be.
All right, so that's that. County Hazard Mitigation Plan.
So they've got a grant to do an update on it. Our section, I don't know if anybody clicked on the link that was in that email. Joe forwarded on to you. Our section still references the contact as Barry Bullis. And it's in need of updating. They've got a grant to do it. There's a small time commitment from the town to attend a couple meetings. Either Tim or I could go. I mean, to me, it seems like, I don't see any harm in it.
No, we were in it before. It's one of those coalitions that are formed to deal with unfunded state mandates. So what a bunch of municipalities pool their resources, and that's how they deal with them. So.
Yeah. And...
Given Al's workload, to be off on our own and have to handle those.
I don't want to. Yeah.
Adding to our plate. And we've been a part of it before, so there's.
Yeah, we're already a part of it, and this is just an update to what is already there. Landfill mowing. So, did some calculations with Jerry about, because Gene was never submitting vouchers for the time spent. Mowing the landfill. Last year when we mowed the landfill, we had two MEOs up there for 3 days to mow the landfill. We don't have the equipment to do it. We're mowing it with lawnmowers with a 60-inch deck.
How many acres is it?
The total thing is, no, it's the actual green area is 17 and a half acres. Which shouldn't have taken 3 days, but that's besides the point.
Well, with a small mowing.
It shouldn't have taken 3 days. That's besides the point, but it would have cost us about $936 in labor, gas, to have our guys do it. Spoke with Josh Allen, who's a farmer, has a facility right across the street. He said $750 to mow it.
For the season?
Yeah, we only, by state law, we only have to mow it once a year. We're just keeping woody vegetation from growing through the cap.
We can just brush hog it then, right?
Yes.
That's what, but we don't have that.
We don't have a brush hog.
Oh, we don't?
Well, we've got one that, but it's no wider than the mower deck on our lawnmowers. Okay. Our brush hog is only a 60-inch wide brush hog. He's got a big bat wing mower. He's like, I can mow that in about 3 hours. So
Dale, that 756 is great.
750, yeah.
Is that taking time away from the union, so they'll complain? Well,
We got plenty to keep.
No, we're not taking work from them.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
We got plenty to keep them busy. Yeah, they're not going to lose out on any. That's not something we did on overtime.
Okay. You can fence it in and get cheap.
I'm
game.
It's too bad.
You go
feed
and water them.
No, let me ask you. So I was out that way. Fred's operation, where all his big grain silos are,
right across the street.
Why isn't that on three-phase? That doesn't require three-phase?
He's all propane for all his grain drying and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
He's off the grid, so to speak.
For the grain drying, yeah. He's all propane. I mean, those grain elevators are nothing. I mean, they're just big blowers. They're just a 220-volt, probably 30-amp circuit.
Yeah, that's the only thing that kept us from
doing solar out there.
Doing solar out there. It's a perfect spot for solar. But we're not close enough to three-phase.
To make it worth our while. Yeah.
All right, cool. Bid, our procurement policy doesn't require that to go out to bid.
Anything less than $1,000 we can just do. So,
cool. All right.
I'm game for just telling Josh to go ahead and do it.
Why don't we wait?
I'm going to wait until end of August, September.
Yep.
Is my thought. Before he starts bringing crops in, so he's not super busy. But yeah, before.
Let the grass grow, size is going to grow.
Yeah, and then knock it down. Yeah.
And he's obviously got insurance if he damages those pipes or does.
Yeah. I mean, I can ask for. I'll ask him for an insurance certificate.
Is there some sort of form that we use, or like a contract form?
Just we can just get an additional insured from him.
No, I know, not for the insurance. Just
he'll
like
invoice
the same way we do the cemetery mowing. Don't we have some kind of paperwork that? It's not just a phone call to this guy, right?
Oh, well, it's less than $1,000. Yeah, we can do it with just.
Yeah, he'll just invoice us.
He'll just invoice us. I mean, I can do the. I don't see you as we need it necessarily. Need a contract for something this small. I mean, there's.
Well, do we have to bid on this?
No, because it's less than
$1,000 by a procurement policy. We can just do one verbal quote. Okay.
All right. Tony Hazard, Lysander landfill mowing, condominium moratorium. All right, so a lot of these questions are going to be thrown your way, Tony. Developer threw out the possibility of putting in condos. There's a weird state law that exempts condos from paying property taxes, having to pay property. They save like two-thirds on property taxes, and they're popping up all over the place. It happened in Fayetteville.
They get taxed as apartments is what it is.
Yeah.
So they're substantially less.
So some communities, and I thought we looked at this because an article came out in the Post Standard which raised our eyebrows. And I thought that previous administrations had passed a law concerning this, and you're saying no.
No, there's nothing in our code about it. Yeah, there's nothing in our code about it.
All right, so Tony, obviously that's a concern, and we can address that. Some communities have passed a law not allowing for that designation.
Well, I don't know what the legality of it is. That's where Tony's got to, I think, do some serious research and see if we can find a loophole to shut them out.
Or at least keep them in, but take off that exemption so they're still paying.
No, the exemption's a state level. Yeah, that's a state controller.
Does that need approval at the state level?
You don't have any condo. condos.
Condominium.
There are no condo associations. Yeah.
What's the state doing to address that abuse? Because it is being abused.
I haven't heard that they're doing anything about it.
I was going to say, the Post Standard referenced a bill that had stalled in state legislature that was possibly going to get taken back up again. But
yeah. Well, then there might not be anything we can do.
Well, I wouldn't give it up. But I mean, I think if we're in agreement that there's no positive... there's nothing positive about condominiums in the town of Lysander. There's nothing good for the town about them, then we ought to find a way to preclude them from ever being built. And that would be the objective.
I mean, you could... a couple things that pop into my mind, you could add that to the town code under each zoning classification, still give up, well, you know, you have to leave one spot where you put them, but you could pick R10 or R12.5 developments, which we don't have any open vacant land for development in those districts, and let them put them there. And now if they wanted to buy up a block of houses and try to do something, they certainly could and redevelop it. But it's not, you know, that might be one way we could pigeonhole.
One thought I have is how you started this, Joe, is that a developer brought this idea up.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I
would say we're being reactionary, and in that if someone brought the idea up, I don't want to appear as though, oh, we're going to take your idea and pull the rug out from under you.
Why not?
Well, because I guess it's an idea, not an application. But I'll go one step further
and call it a threat.
Well, all right.
I mean,
if that's the case, then it's different. Well, see, if that's the case, that's the case. What I'm saying is, if somebody put an application in, and simply because we don't have some code to block it, we all of a sudden write it quickly. I don't feel comfortable with that.
But sometimes you just don't know. And here's an issue that, you know, it came to light a few weeks ago that there's an incredible loophole in the state of New York for allowing people to build and live in things without paying property tax.
This is a blurb that appeared in the Syracuse.com, when was this? May 2nd. State law governing condominium developments was intended to address the need for affordable vertical housing primarily in downstate urban areas. Instead, the device has been used by developers in suburban communities to provide well-to-do buyers with tax breaks in exchange for market or generally above market rate housing at the expense of municipalities and the majority of taxpayers. In condominium developments, assessed values are not based on fair market value as they are for all other residential properties, but rather on square footage and hypothetical capped rental values. By way of example, typical single-family detached patio homes with condo status in Amherst have assessed values ranging anywhere from 40% to 57% of fair market value. As a result, such homes, and now thousands like them throughout Western New York, pay approximately half the amount of property and school tax as non-condo homes with the same market value.
Yeah, it's insane.
Okay, so I guess I looked
at one in Skinny Atlas that we were looking for a place out there at one point. It was $299,000. The tax is like $1,300 a year.
Wow.
Right. So I'm not saying that I agree. I think it's a loophole that should be plugged up. What I'm saying is, if we don't have an application in front of us, I'm comfortable with that. But if there is an application,
this isn't. We need to be thinking about this. And if there's anything that we can do, this just brought. Anytime something is brought to our attention, that could be damaging to our community, and I think it really would be. You know, I think we have an obligation to see whether or not there's something that we can do about it. In this instance, I don't know. The state allows for it, and if the state grants the status, there's very little.
Well, but Joe, Al just came up with a potential solution. you know, the state allows X-rated bookstores and whatever you want to call those things to operate. The way municipalities deal with it, they zone them to be only in industrial areas or whatever. So find a way, Tony, to create a place where, no, you can have them in the town of Lysander, but you can have them over here, and that's it, in R12 or whatever.
Yeah, I would assume there has to be guidelines that it has to be compliant with local codes and stuff for the state to, the state can't just blankly approve these. There has to be some local control through home rule. So I would think that there would be an opportunity for us to put something in our code to slow it down or stop it.
Well, then, I mean, if we have received this threat, then, I don't know how quickly you can do the research, Tony, but
for our next meeting, call a public hearing to adopt a local law for a moratorium. We can talk about that tonight, which we obviously are doing, so it's not something that we decided next week. It's something we're talking about now. But it's a local law, so you got to do the normal local law process. And you can request tonight that I do the research to prepare for a local law adoption for a moratorium having to do with condominiums.
And then subsequent to that, to research, you know, the most appropriate way to deal with the condominium issue.
Well, I mean, the whole idea of a moratorium is to give you time
to analyze it.
Yeah,
this isn't anything. I mean, this was brought to our attention that this was being considered, and I think we would be derelict in not looking at it. So, we'll craft a motion. We'll put that on as item N. I'll mention that in additions and deletions.
You see that I copied you on my email response to him. I mean, I think it clearly states in Section 122, Article 5, that you have to design sewers for upstream tributary populations in town code, so I don't think he's got a leg to stand on with his argument that he doesn't have to size a pump station accordingly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I saw that.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you were on the same page.
I don't know.
But he didn't mention in his thing about condos, did he?
That's where that was.
In the last paragraph.
Yeah.
Seeker proposed Collington Point Sewer District.
Yep. So we have the public hearings, the meeting of the 21st. So here's the part one. I'm gonna pass it down.
You have this, Joe?
Yeah, I need it.
And that's the documentation that I prepared for them for the sewer district extension. This is the part two that we have to go through this evening.
Here's some extras.
There might be. Did Tony get one of those? There's part one. I missed one there. So we'll go ahead and check that as no.
There's always one box.
First one and five.
12B.
What are we talking about?
I forgot to check the box.
What about 5A?
5A is yes as well.
5A is yes?
Yes.
And 12B is no.
12B is no.
All right, both found one. Find another one, see who wins.
I got no other ones. You're out of luck. It's a tie.
Tie. Kissing your sister. All right, so you want to rifle through these?
Yeah, part two. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? No. Will the proposed action result in a change in use or intensity of use of land? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Or the proposed action have an impact on environmental characteristics that cause establishment of a critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkways? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy as it fails to incorporate reasonable energy, available energy conservation, and renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact public-private water supplies? No. Public-private wastewater treatment facilities. There will be an impact, however, to homes is not significant, so no. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, fauna? No. Will the proposed action result increased in potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. So after the declaration, this would be a project that's suitable for a negative declaration, and Tony will prepare the resolution for that.
The resolutions are all done, so you just adopt a resolution for the negative declaration. This is the long form, which I'll give to Dana.
This was for what? The new Collington Point development?
No. This is the two houses or two lots on Route 370 that want sewer service.
Okay.
So we're extending the sewer district to include those two lots in the sewer district.
That's all it is?
That's all it is. Yeah.
Okay. So in order to extend it, why do we have to do a seeker two? Can you remind me about that?
Any action that the town board takes has to...
To expand a district.
To expand it. Yeah, okay. It's a state law.
So, Tony, that's not K. That's not item K. Or you've already written?
Yeah, I already got the formal resolutions. What's written in here is sufficient for the board to adopt a resolution for negative declaration. I think that's what it says here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And item?
The formal resolution is longer. But
yeah.
K. And item K.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And then we have the next one is for the Route 48 Sidewalk District. Really the same thing. More of a formality. For you, Tony.
You got one more?
Okay. Yeah, Bob might have an extra one. But.
Oh, here. How long do we have it now?
Yeah.
The part two. You got them all checked, too. That's Grace and Joe.
Oh, checking?
He's going to miss right the time.
Yeah, we're competing at Al's expense here. What did Al screw up here?
I
you have a second. You
got I found two. One.
I just like.
I don't have a second.
You have part two.
No, you
got it.
Right,
got it.
We got it. We good? Okay. I find these to be
mundane.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's a good word. I was trying to come up with one that was appropriate for this setting, but mundane would do it. So this is for the Route 48 Sidewalk District. This would be a proposed sidewalk that we received or been awarded a TAP grant for to construct a sidewalk from Chaucer Circle and the Village Line north to the intersection of Country Lane and Hourglass Lane and Route 48. So... will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? No. Will the proposed action result in change or use in intensity of the land? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action have an impact on environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact public-private water supplies? No. Public-private wastewater treatment utilities? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, aesthetic resources? No. will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No.
So why do we do this?
Because the state mandates it.
No, we're forming a district.
We're forming a
district. Why did we just verbally just do this?
The seeker process. Yeah, the seeker guidelines.
The process is that you're supposed to review all this stuff before you make a determination.
And you're supposed to review it in an open public meeting. So this quantifies as our review of seeker.
So why don't you do it verbally to do part one? Why just part two?
I mean, part one is who's is filled out by the applicant.
The applicant. Okay.
So Al, you know, let's say number four. What happens if we checked yes, it would? Would that change anything?
Yes, it would be a positive declaration and an environmental impact statement would need to be prepared.
Even if it was just one?
Even one.
Yeah.
All it takes is one box.
Yeah. Okay. And it's mundane. But it's, I see where the state.
Yeah, it's a, I mean,
I mean, a lot of bases are covered by this kind of review.
Yep.
I mean, right. It's it protects a lot of, it takes in a lot of considerations.
Yeah, a law's a law, and we try to, you know, we want to follow the laws. So, and it's a painless, well, I won't say painless, but relatively pain-free.
It's a pain.
It's a relatively pain-free process. Still a pain.
Still a pain.
It's easy pain. All right, so you're going to provide me resolution N for the moratorium on. Oh, there you go.
Got it.
Beautiful.
And that just authorizes me to create a local law for. But at least. We're not doing a local law tonight, but you're telling me to go ahead and prepare a local law for a moratorium.
Right.
But if anybody says, hey, you did this after you got my application. No, we did it.
We didn't. We didn't receive. We haven't received an application.
Right. I'm saying.
Right.
Nobody can come along and say you try to cut the rug off.
Okay.
So.
All right. You just showed us the rug.
That's right. You said you woke us up. Okay.
I do remember reading that article, but I thought for sure we talked about that that had been addressed somehow, and I guess it hadn't. So.
We should think about doing that.
Yes, I agree.
What's that?
Titans. So, yeah, you can do, we can establish our own type 2 list.
The type 2 action is one that you don't have to do seeker, okay? And there's a list of those things in the seeker law that says these are type 2. But the law also says that the town can create a supplement to that list. And things that we don't think need to be reviewed by seeker, we can put on the list and say, for example, these types of things, you know, forming a district. You're not changing anything, you're not doing any kind of environmental stuff. Those are the ones that really should be type 2. You don't have to do seeker at all. So we should, Al and I should get together and see.
Are those challengeable? Well, so like a sewer district extension. Well, if the sewer district extension is going to put more houses in the district than the existing infrastructure can handle.
Yeah, there's criteria for the ones you can do.
So maybe that would be a, I don't know if I would support putting that one in just because, like I said, if a sewer district is being formed and there's not capacity, well, that could cause an environmental problem that we wouldn't want to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, as long as you follow the criteria.
Or a water district is being expanded, but there's not enough pressure or fire flow to accommodate the area.
You can't just do it just to eliminate things. You've got to fall within the
parameters.
The realm of possibility.
But there's certainly things I can think of that would.
Because any time we fund something, we're supposed to do a seeker.
Yeah.
So, a lot of things.
The funding? It's based on funding?
Funding, approval.
Any action, approval, action,
Or you take an action to do something, or you fund it, or approve it, you're subject to seeker.
Resolutions.
No, here's a question for you, Tony. In work session, block party, road closure, Brannockburn. I didn't see in our code where we have an open container law listed, but Onondaga County has an open container, don't they? Doesn't Onondaga County have a blanket, or New York State have an open container law in New York State?
I believe you can't have an open container in public.
Okay, so that's so in this consideration for the block party, what we usually do, because it's adults and families and they're not rock parties, they're not like, you know, they're monitored, we usually do a waiver of open container because typically beer is served at these things. And so,
and I think the open container law is for people walking down the street.
Right.
Obviously, when you have a block party, you're closing the street. So you're kind of taking that street out of the public domain and saying, okay, for this purpose, you don't.
So you don't think we need to do a waiver of open container for the block party?
You could. I mean, it doesn't hurt you to add that in the resolution, that the waiver of open container. But I don't think there's a police agency out there that would arrest somebody at a block party.
Well, that's my concern. You know, if sheriffs roll up and there's a father with a Bud Light in his hand, yeah. I don't want that kind of issue popping up.
Yeah, the street.
Whereas if the board passed a resolution specifically allowing for it at that occasion.
To be honest, I'm not so sure the board resolution takes precedence over what the state says the law. So, but that's why I say you can pass a resolution saying that we're waiving that to the extent that we can waive it, but lets everybody else know that this block party is approved, and that's why you do a block party, because you close the street.
Right.
So,
can an argument be made that we can give approval? We ought to give approval to, and you know, these block parties. They're wonderful things to do, and just let it go. You do what you want. Just ignore what happens at a block party.
Well, it's one thing. It's one thing for us to say it, but we don't have our own police agency to say that too. Like in the village, we could tell the Baldwinsville Police Department, we approved a block party.
Yeah, right.
You know, unless.
Yeah, but who's going
to. Actually, that'd be a great revenue for the village. Approve these block parties and go write a bunch of them together.
Yeah.
When has a block party ever been harassed by the sheriff?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say it doesn't happen.
That's why I'm saying.
I just want to make sure that the bases are covered for these folks. I mean, it's great. We should encourage these. And
I mean, what we can do is close the road. Beyond that, it's kind of out of.
Okay.
Could we get put a phone call into like the sheriff's office?
Yeah,
though?
You
just
can,
run,
if you
want to
do that, you can call the sheriff. Say we're
well, they'll the other thing we should do is somebody should notify 911. Yeah. So emergency service vehicles realize that the road will be closed.
Notify.
You can have the people, whoever's making the request, do that as part of the. They must notify 911.
Yeah,
and the reason I was thinking about the sheriff's office is so they were aware of it. So if there was something on their end, they would need. Like you said, so there's no problem, nobody would get.
I think that's 911. You notify 911, they send it to fire, sheriff, ambulance, everybody gets it.
Yep.
We'll get a copy of it faxed to us at the highway garage.
Well, I was just thinking about the alcohol situation. If we contacted the sheriff or anything, just to make sure that they wouldn't, you know, that they knew that the town was okay with it. If there was a problem,
I think it's one of those things that.
Let the sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not going to be any issues unless there's issues, and then it's appropriate for the authorities to get involved.
Yeah. And write some open container tickets, and it's appropriate for the authorities to write some open container.
And that's actually, without belaboring, that's a good reason for us not delving into that, because you gave them permission,
exactly.
So now you're liable.
Exactly.
Just close the road.
Just close the road.
Okay. Cool. All right.
I have one other question. I don't know if you want to discuss tonight the DEC violation.
Yes.
We got as a result of Gene not filing paperwork. Originally, the thing starts off at $5,000. Then they have a consent order that if we agree to correct it, it's $1,000. I've talked to the DEC attorney and got it down to $500. That's as low as they'll go. So if we're okay with that, we can approve the consent order, pay the $500. Al's going to take over.
Yeah, I'm taking the test. Actually, that's the first time I gendered tomorrow morning.
So when was this supposed to have to been done?
Oh, back in 2016.
Yeah.
And we actually had a certified operator. The paperwork was never.
Gene.
Even though Gene took the test and passed the test and it was in the DEC database, The certificate was never forwarded on to the appropriate folks in the DEC Albany office. So
as a result of that, we got violated.
And they didn't follow through?
We didn't follow
through. We had to file a form with the certificate with Albany, and we didn't do it, but it was the reason they're willing to reduce the fine is because we produced the certificate. We had an operator. We were in compliance. We merely forgot to do the paperwork.
And why wouldn't I appreciate you volunteering about whatever, but why isn't our new highway superintendent going to be the man to do
because
that?
He's an elected official. He might not be here in 4 years. And then we might have the same problem again.
I mean,
whereas
if you
have an in-house engineer, it's more of a technical
actually, you know what?
Certificate.
Personally, I think one of our highway guys should do it. But, you know, by their union contract, we're kind of...
Yeah. Could we go through a whole fight?
We're going to be out of the
Yeah, we got to
do business soon.
I said we need a resolution for tonight.
If we're going to do it tonight, or you can do it next meeting.
Let's get it done. Before they... I think.
All right, so...
Give me the paper back. I'll write it on.
Already lost it.
Yeah.
Is it this one?
There it is.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's conservative.
Actually, you know what? Write it right on here, because I'm just going to copy it.
Okay.
Write it right underneath the end.
So it's
okay, that covers that.
Oh, this is wrong.
We go to a brief executive session related to possible purchase, land purchase. Can I get a motion?
Is everybody up to speed on this? Is that what we're doing with this? I mean, we all got the letter, but it's kind of...
No, that's been taken care of, and that's a motion that we're going to pass. I think the board is up to speed on what's taking place as far as money put aside to make sure that the work has been done. The date of completion has got to be close of business on June 15th, which is before our next meeting. So the authorization we're going to provide tonight, possibly if everyone votes yes, that if Al finds that the developer is not compliant, then we would have access to those funds and we would do the job on our own. We would hire our own contractor and have the job done.
June 20th, so we would have another one on the 21st for the same thing for the other items on the 27th. I would have loved to put them all for June 15th. However, because my original letter only included items 1 and 2, the first two items, I did not include the other stuff in a deadline. I thought it was appropriate that we give them a deadline to comply.
So what's your confidence level that it's going to get done by then? Zero.
All right, can I get a motion to move into executive session concerning the possible purchase of land?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. We are in executive session. That began at 6:20.